Well, I too want to welcome everyone to worship here today at Yuma Pine. It's a great privilege to be here on this beautiful summer day. And God is with us indeed by His Spirit. Today we're talking about water, the water of life. As you know, thirst is a universal pain. Every living thing that moves under the hot sun will soon crave something to drink. And we're now in the season of thirst, aren't we? One day I was driving and I drove past a lady who was working in her yard. And as I went by, she stopped and just wiped her brow. And I could almost read her thoughts. "When I finish this, I'm going for the lemonade." She just looked thirsty. All nature thirsts and is refreshed by moisture. Just look at the cattle in the pasture. Where are they? Well, they're down there near the stream. Or they're down there, you know, near the spring. Try letting your lawn go without water for a week and just see how it looks. Evidence of its thirst soon appears. Every creature understands thirst. It involves the loss of all comfort, and if it is not quenched, even the loss of life itself. One time I heard of a man whose truck broke down while crossing the Sahara Desert. He and his traveling companion were stranded for 3 weeks before they were rescued. The sun forced them under the truck where they dug a shallow trench. Day after day, they lay there. They had food, but they did not eat food because it would intensify their thirst. It's dehydration, not starvation, that kills wanderers in the desert. And thirst is the most terrible of all human sufferings. Before they were rescued, they actually started into the radiator fluid when their good drinking water was gone. In order to survive, they were willing even to drink, in effect, poison. Anything to quench that excruciating thirst. Jesus lived in a hot part of the world. One day at noontime, as the sun was beating down, he crossed paths with that of a Samaritan woman at a well. Water was uppermost in her thoughts, but Jesus knew that she was thirsty for more than just literal water. And sitting at the mouth of the well, I can see his earnest face as he noted the woman there. He noted her wondering eyes while he talked to her in a way she had never been spoken to before about water, which a person can drink and never thirst again. We're back to our scripture reading that Gary read just a few moments ago. "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again," said Jesus. "But whoever drinks the water I give will never be thirsty. The water I give will become a spring of water gushing up inside the person, giving eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will never be thirsty again and will not have to come back here to get more water." Well, at first the woman raised questions in her conversation with Jesus, but she was in good hands, and soon she passed from questioning to petitioning. "Sir, give me this water. She didn't even understand her own petition. She was giving a literal meaning. She thought it was literal water. But Jesus was talking about a spiritual concept. She was thinking of the water that just moistens the lips, but Jesus was speaking of living water, his own grace, his own love that touches the heart and the heart only. Her eyes were dark, but her face was turned in the right direction toward Jesus. And he had for her something that would be a happy outcome for her, because Jesus was there to guide her away from the poisonous substitutes that she was using to quench the thirst of her soul. Well, though the story happened long ago, the analogies remain for us today. And I hope in your own life you also have this desire for living water, to partake of water that satisfies your thirst like nothing else this world has to offer. The grace of God in the spiritual world is just what water is in the natural world. It is essential to life. As a living creature, you want water. You must have it. It is imperative. You must drink or die. In the same way, you must have the grace of God, not for your body, but for your soul. And it's essential that you have it, or else your soul will first be in pain here. And if it remains an unsatisfied want, it will be a second death for eternity. How imperative that we receive that refreshment of the water of life. Well, since Jesus analogized at the well, that's what we're going to do today. Water is such a beautiful object to help us understand salvation. The grace of God is like water in so many ways. So let's just think about this today. First of all, water is thirst removing. And so is the grace of God. After drinking a tall glass of cool, refreshing water, that bodily want is removed. That pain of thirst is gone. You are satisfied. And in the same way, when you receive the grace of God, you get what your nature has wanted, and your painful longings are over. It was Mother Teresa who said, "You will never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got." By nature, we feel that we want something, but we don't know what it is. We're uncomfortable. We're in pain. We want something we cannot find within ourselves. We want something that the world cannot give and which our friends cannot provide. And we're foolish enough that we don't fully know how to satisfy it. And so we try one thing after another to satisfy our thirst. We have all these pursuits. We have these possessions. We go after fashion and foods and drinks and travels and accomplishments and career moves or career switching. We're always running after something because we're thirsty. If that is you, if you're in that condition, thirsty but never satisfied, the gospel is just the thing for you. The water of life. You know, it's a wonderful thing for a person to be able to say, I'm satisfied. Can you say that?
Yes.
I'm satisfied. What a wonderful thing. Jesus takes away the restless spirit, and he gives us rest and refreshment. There's a fount of water that flows from the foot of the cross. Faith is the silver cup. Dip it into that stream and drink. Sir, give me that water. Another thing, water is life preserving. In the wilderness where there's no water, the lips become chapped, the skin is dry, the tongue swells, and the mouth feels like an oven. The weary traveler must drink or die. I also picture a poor shipwreck victim out there in the raft, surrounded by the ocean of salt water. He feels that death will come soon unless he can get some pure, clean, refreshing drops of water to drink. In the same way, God's grace means life for the soul. Jesus said to that woman, "The water I give will become a spring of water gushing up inside that person, giving eternal life." If you drink of the water of life, you have life forever. If the grace of God flows into your soul, you will possess a life that never ends. Jesus said, "He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live." Sir, give me this water. Still more. Water is a cleanser. What would we do without the convenience of clean, running water? You know, it fills our wash machines. It fills our dishwashers. It fills our bathtubs. Every day, washing away our grime and our stains. Can you imagine those travelers who were on the Oregon Trail coming west in a season like this in the summertime? Man, what must it have been like for them to come to a nice stream and stop, and a stream so clear they could see their faces in it? Boy, they were hot and dusty. Can you see them washing their faces, doing their laundry, taking their baths, and then going on their way, bright and shining? There's a river of grace by which we may be washed and cleansed. This stream will take spots out which nothing else can remove, however foul. That water will cleanse. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Is that what you need today? Cleansing? Though they are red as crimson, they shall be white like wool. Isn't that a promise? A promise for us to claim this living water that will make us as white as snow. Sir, give me this water. Still more. Water softens. Whether it's a bar of soap, iron, or steel, given enough time, water will do its work, and what has been hardened becomes crumbly and soft. The water of life has a marvelous softening power. It can turn the heart of stone into flesh. There's no stubbornness which the grace of God cannot remove. The hardest heart melts before the power of love revealed in Christ Jesus. You know the story of Saul of Tarsus. He was transformed. He was a cruel, murderous Pharisee. But he was turned into the one who wrote 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. What a transformation. He could no longer be the enemy of God's church. On the Damascus Road, something happened. And he was led to seek out some poor disciple to humbly ask what he must do. And he was as compliant and meek as a little lamb because he had come in contact with that water of life that softened him. May the Lord give it to any of us whose hardened hearts remain. Sir, give me that water. Still more, water quenches fires. We have a lot of inventions regarding fire technology, but you know, still the best to put out a blaze is just pour water on it. We run for the hydrants. We turn on the main. What better can we do? Even in the big cities, we see these pictures on the news of the heat in the city. And there's, you know, they open up the mists and the spray and let loose that cooling water on overheated people who feel like they're burning up. You know, there are fires that burn within our hearts. There are some pretty hot fires that are burning in our own lives, in the depths of our fallen nature, furious flames that roar within our inner parts. And they roll over into torrents of sin lava into our daily lives. And these are fires which will never be put out except by the water of life, the water from heaven. There's the fire of envy. There are the flames of malice. There are the fires of anger and all manner of wretchedness and evil speaking that we're so capable of producing. But how mighty is the grace of God to put out the flames of sin? Even on the day of the second coming, when the fires will be falling from heaven to consume the earth, we will be spared because we have the water of life. There will not be one burning coal that will touch us because we have the water of life. Sir, give me this water. Still more. The water of life is spring water. Jesus said, "Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring welling up to eternal life." You know the difference between a pool and a spring. Spring water bubbles up fresh, continually fresh, and it's always clean. And so it is with God's grace. It never gets flat. It never gets dull or stale or dead. our daily pollutions. Do not spoil it, because it's a living spring washing away the sediment that rises. Do you have that in your own life today? Do you have that spring in your heart, that spring of life that keeps you fresh, keeps your heart always fresh and never stale? You know, it must be hard work to play the part of a Christian if you do not have that spring within your heart. It must be slavish work to keep up a profession of godliness if you don't have fresh life bubbling up within you. And if you don't have that spring in you, you will soon run dry. Your spiritual life will become brackish and stale. What a curse to be one of the stagnant pools of formality, exhaling the putridity of hypocrisy. Ah, that doesn't sound good at all. Lord, cleanse and freshen and revive our lives with the water of life. Sir, give me that water. Water also produces fruit. What fruit would there be on the trees? What pasture in the meadows? What harvest in the fields if it were not for rain? That million-dollar rain, they call it around here. When we have but little grace, we produce some little fruit. But if we had more grace, oh, how that fruit would fill out. How would our fruit be more rich, fat, and mellow? How would our service to God be more improved and perfected if we had more of that fruit-producing, living water? Jesus said, "By their fruits you will know them." Sir, give me that water. Give me that water, that my life will bear fruit abundantly. Another thing, water rises to its own level. It's a rule of hydrology. Water will rise as high as its source. We're told we cannot lead anyone higher than we ourselves are, but how high is the source of the grace of God? How high is that? If you get the water of life, the true grace of God, which descends from heaven, it will take you as high as the new Jerusalem. High up in the throne of God are the everlasting springs of mercy, and they flow down to earth, leaping down by way of the cross, and they will ascend again as high as their source. And they will float you up there with them. Where God is, there you will be. All the rivers of grace flow into the sea. Whence they came, the bottomless, shoreless sea of everlasting love. Because that is the eternal source and fountain of them all. Sir, give me that water. Today, if you really want it, you will have it. We've had some days recently top out at 100 degrees. And if I stood by a well or a stream, and you approached me and you said, "Sir, give me some water," you know, I would say, "Have as much as you like. Fill your cup. Fill your gallon jugs. 5 gallons, 10 gallons. Who does not give water? It's the commonest gift of all. And when you go to a restaurant, I mean, do they charge you for water? No. No. It's a common gift. Have you noticed that God's resources are given without measure and without fee and charge? Think of the sun. For all of its shining down upon us, it remains just as bright and just as hot. Think of the ocean. For all of its evaporating, it remains just as full. For all the electricity we draw from the mighty Columbia River, it never fails to supply the need. Even so, the gift of the water of life is no tax upon Jesus. He does not lose anything. For all the pain and cost he endured long ago, the salvation of the guilty is now his reward, in which he sees the recompense of all his sufferings. In his word, his grace is compared to water, which even we freely give, and which our Lord never denies to those who seek it from him. As we close, I'd like to commend to you the prayer of our text. "Sir, give me this water." The woman began her petition by honoring Christ, "Sir." We call him Lord. He deserves our greatest honor and our worship and our respect, the highest title we can offer. And notice she did not say, "Sir, please sell me this water." No, "Sir, give me this water. Pray for it as a gift. You will never have it any other way. There's no merit that we bring to Jesus. Mercy must be given, or else we'll never have it. We come empty-handed, poor, miserable, and very thirsty. Give to me without money and without price your salvation, the water of life.